Okay. Good evening, Rabbi Yisai. We are in Chovos HaLevavos, Shaar HaBitachon, Perek Dalid. In my Lev Tov edition, it's page Shin Lamed Zayin. Okay. Money, having a fortune, having more money than you need for your sustenance. So the Chovos HaLevavos is trying to develop for us the correct mentality, the correct approach to this money. So basically, if we'll put together the different things he's been telling us, we want to understand as follows. That there are three layers to the money that a person has. There is the part of his money that's given to him for his sustenance. That is what you're provided with for a basic, comfortable living, lifestyle. The next level is the money that's being given to you for those who depend on you, dependents. Now, the Chovos HaLevavos tells us, when it comes to this, if you are supporting people, whether in the context of family, needy people, employees, etc., don't view it as your own money. Don't view it as your own money. View it as money that's earmarked for them, and you are just passing it to them. You're just, Hashem is asking you to pass it to them. That is the correct view. Then, beyond that, let's say you have just extra money, money that's going to be sitting in your account, money that's going to be sitting in investments, money that you have set aside. So the Chovos HaLevavos here wants to train us to understand that why this money was given to you, we don't necessarily know. Don't be quick to relate to it as yours, because you may be setting yourself up for a heartache. That money can be given to you for many different reasons. It might be given to you, yes, as a sign of favor from Hashem. It might be given to you for all kinds of different technical reasons. Maybe, ultimately, it's meant to sit by you until somehow it makes its way to somebody else. Maybe it's there just to put you through the experience of losing it. Maybe it's there to test you, etc. And therefore, don't be quick to relate to it as something I must hold on to, I become emotionally attached to, I start to identify myself by my fortune. But rather say, Hashem just put this on my table, I wonder why. And you can certainly say in a tentative way, I'm going to save it for my old age, I'm going to save it for marrying off the kids, etc., etc. But I'm going to save it for times that I might decide to dip into it. But say that in a tentative way, because you don't really know. And bear in mind, in this context, we brought in the Gemara in Bava Basra that tells about the Chashmonai king. This is another approach. This is an implication of this approach. Who gave a lot, gave very generously to tzedakah, because he said, again, money that's been put into my account, I don't know how long it's there for, what it's there for. Money that I've moved on and given it to tzedakah, money that I've done mitzvahs with, I know for sure is locked into my account forever and ever. This money is mine now. It can never be taken away from me. Okay. All right, which brings to mind another anecdote. One of the famous, there was in the era, in the age of Spain, it was very common that Jews were in high positions of power. And sometimes you had very serious chachamim who acted as advisors to the king. And there was one chacham who was an advisor to the king. And as was always the case, there was intrigue in the king's court. There was intrigue in the king's court. And there were others who were out to get him. And somebody started trying to get the king to believe that he was using funds wrong, he wasn't reporting his tax properly, etc. And one day the king suddenly called him in and said, I want you to give me an accounting of everything you own. So the Chacham understood that something was up, and he decided he's going to make a point to the king. So he reported exactly 10% of his fortune. This was blatant that it was not his true fortune. And immediately his enemies jumped on it and said, look, you see, we told you that he tries to lie to you. So the king immediately offered his fortune confiscated. And then the king called him in and said, what's this about? Why did you report 10% of your fortune? So the Chacham responded, he said, look, what I did was so obvious. You don't think that I thought you would pick up on it? I give 10% of my money to tzedakah. That is what I consider truly mine, because that can never be taken away from me. And look, you see, the fact is that the other 90% you just took. You just took it. You see how fleeting it is? But the 10% that I give to charity, that's mine. That nobody can take from me. Okay. Now we move on to another point that he's going to make. So up till now, the Chavis HaVavis is talking about having the right approach to money when you have a lot of it. And he was talking more in the sense of a person who might feel that he wants to hold on to it for this, he wants to use it for that, etc. But now, the Chavis HaVavis moves on to address another phenomenon that you might see among people who have a lot of money, and that is they have a lot of money without any intent of doing anything with it. What do they have it for? So let's see. V'yesh mibnei adam kitos, you'll find people she'enam mishtadlim liknos hamamayin ulahavos mimenu, that the reason that they work hard to amass a great fortune is for no reason other than elahavas hakovid mibnei adam, as a status thing, as a social thing. They enjoy the prestige that's given to the wealthy. V'lasayim shame, it makes them famous. V'maspik lahem mimenu shum davar. Once a person is on this track, then there is never enough. V'zesichlus mehem v'sibas hakovad bo'ilam hazeh u'bo'ilam abo. And this, here they are being led into the pitfall of kavod, of looking for recognition, which is a pitfall both in terms of olam hazeh and olam haba. What does he mean by that? What he means by that is that certainly it is pulling you away from your focus on olam haba, and it's going to compromise your olam haba. The less of a head you have for olam haba, the less conscious efforts you put into olam haba, the more compromised your olam haba is going to be. There's no two ways about it. But he says it's also a pitfall in this world, and you know why? Because it's really an illusion. They don't really think highly of you. Everybody flatters a rich man. But they're looking at you, it's just envy. But you're sure that everybody is looking at you with such admiring eyes. So now, what causes people to get into this rut of trying to amass a fortune for the purpose of status? Because they see the ignorant honoring the rich. And he says, well, let's call a spade a spade. Why does everybody act with such deference towards them? They want to kiss up to them because they hope maybe they'll get a piece of the cake. That's all. They're hoping that they'll be able to get a piece of that wealth if they get close with him, if they get friendly with him, if they show him respect, if they make him feel good. Okay. Now, v'ilu hiskilu v'hevino kein v'yicholdam v'loy b'koicham l'ilostis v'limnoya elu l'misha gozala b'ryetzlam. Now, if all these people would properly understand that, as we've been discussing this whole time, Hashem decides who should get what, they would not start putting their hopes. You put that, if I get this friend, this person is a friend, this rich person, he'll give me gifts, he'll help me out when I need it. Don't invest in a relationship with a person for this purpose, because that's, again, a conflict with bitachon. It's a conflict with bitachon. Bitachon is the understanding that if you're meant to get something more, if you're meant to be cared for in your times of need, Hashem will provide it. I'll note, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was once talking about, he said, note the difference between a Rav, the way a Rav should be. He was actually saying this as a criticism of a certain movement to try to make certain changes in the Rabbanus, in the way Rabbanim were chosen. But he said, the classic Rav, let's contrast him with a typical doctor. I'm not talking about the special Erlich doctors. Typical doctor. The typical doctor has a wealthy patient and he has a wealthy patient and he has a poor patient. The poor patient gets regular coupon rates, or he gets the little bit that this person can afford to give him. And the wealthy person, you know, take care of me, I'll take care of you. So this doctor, the poor people, the poor patients, they come a dime a dozen. If the poor person calls him out of hours, he doesn't have time for him. Any special needs beyond his immediate duty, he just provides him with basic care and that's all. While the rich patient, oh, if he calls him at 4 a.m, saying that he has a cough, he'll be running over to his house. He'll be right there to make him a cup of tea or to prescribe him some honey. He'll go all out. He said, and note that by the Rav, it's the opposite. A rich person, he doesn't give him much of his time. What's your shaila? That's the answer, whatever it is. A poor person comes to him with a shaila, let's say as a chicken who he's worried it's treif. The Rav will stop putting in efforts to try to find a way to be machshir for the poor person. He doesn't want him to lose this chicken. He pinched his pennies in order to buy a chicken for Shabbos, and now, chalila, it might be treif. So he's going to put in the effort. He'll put in the extra time to try to help him out. So this is the point the Chaim Salvavis is making here. This is the point the Chaim Salvavis is making here. Not to be kissing up to a person because he's rich and because you hope that by doing that, you'll get a piece of the pie also. But the point that he's making is also the other way, to the rich man himself. And he's telling him, don't be taken by the deference that people are showing you. All they want is a piece of your wealth. If they'll only curry favor with you enough that you'll share some of it with them. So don't be so taken by the respect that you're being shown. Okay. Now, again, he says that if people had the right approach, if people had true bitachon, they would not be investing in relationships in the hope of material gain. And also, who would be the people that they honor? Not a person who has money, but rather a person who has gained special virtues in Hashem's service. A person, a dedicated person to Hashem, a dedicated servant of Hashem, is a person who deserves our honor, is a person who deserves our respect. When you honor such a person, you're actually showing honor to Hashem. So yes, we honor the person, we honor the people whose honor is honor to Hashem. It's showing that service of Hashem is what makes a person deserve honor. Like the pasuk says, those who honor me will be honored. Now, because this reality is created where a rich person has social status, so the ignorance goes to the next level. It starts with showing all that honor, and then it goes to that each person wants to put in all that effort to gain that honor, to become that rich man, to have that social standing. And they end up expending all their energy in this chase, this pursuit of money. And it comes at the expense of, they do this instead of the areas that you should really be putting effort in order to invest in your ultimate future and in order to reciprocate to Hashem for all of His goodness to you. Okay, we'll stop here for tonight, Bezras Hashem. Have a good night, Rabbi Yisai.
Erev Tov, Rabbi.
Good night.
Welcome to you.
That was a baby.